Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing.
Oh.
From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
We got Nate Taylor here. Nate Taylor, he used to work at The Athletic. He does not work there anymore. Now he works for ESPN. Nate, let's just dive right into it. You know where this first question is going to go.
Uh-huh.
What's the status of Xavier Worthy?
Uh-huh.
Do you feel like he is going to play? What's the status of Jalen Royals? Do you feel like he is going to play on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, so both guys practiced this week. We knew about Xavier Worthy wanting to play in Sunday's game against the Eagles, but for precautionary reasons, they held him out. So as far as I know, it's trending towards Xavier Worthy being available, and then it comes down to a question of how effective can he be early? You know, how does that shoulder hold up in terms of, you know, protecting yourself against contact? I'm not really sure on Jalen Royals. You know, it would be nice if they had him. I don't know how much of this is kind of like what occurred with Omar Norman Lott, where he missed the season opener in Sao Paulo, but he was, you know, with the team. And then he obviously made his NFL debut this past week. So I don't know if they'll do a similar thing with Jalen Royals, where it's like, hey, you practiced this week, got a feel for what you could do. Now we can integrate you more into the, you know, the game plan going into week four against the Baltimore Ravens. So as of right now, I would say Xavier Worthy is expected to play. And I'm not really sure if Jalen Royals is going to be in uniform or not.
You know this team as well as anybody. You're around them every day. Are you surprised at what you've seen so far? I think we knew, at least when Xavier Worthy went down, they were going to have to cobble together some things offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little surprised that we're heading into week three for a must-win, very important game.
Yeah.
I've noted this. This is probably the first regular season game that you would say the Chiefs had to win since that Thursday night football game against the Chargers a few years back. Remember, that game was for the division.
Oh, yeah, 2021.
Kelsey,
yeah, yeah.
Kelsey uh-huh. had the game-winning touchdown. That was the last time where I felt like you went into it thinking, all right, you have to win this regular season game. They've put themselves back up against the wall in week three against the Giants.
Man, they really have. So this is as close to a must-win game as you can have, you know, in, you know, September. I am surprised by a couple things when it comes to, like, what we've seen from the team so far. Because, you know, as a reporter, especially when you've been doing it for a decent amount of time, you're always – questioning, okay, what am I seeing in July and August from training camp that I really know is going to translate to the field? That's going to be representative of what this team is when they actually play an opponent, in, you know, in front of fans and television cameras and all that. over the last few years, we've gotten farther and farther away from, okay, what I saw in July and August is what's showing up early in the season. You can even include that into last year, just on how poor the defense was to start the year. And now, because of injuries yet again at the receiver position, obviously there's the Rashee Rice suspension involved as well. It's almost like, did anything that they did in training camp really matter on offense outside of trying to get as much development and as many reps for Josh Simmons and Kingsley Suamata'i on the left side of the offensive line? I'm surprised that the offensive line hasn't been as good in terms of run blocking. I think the game plans have been plenty to leave, you know, to be desired. Mostly because, and I don't know how much you talked about this in Monday's show. I can't remember, but like, you know, because the Eagles didn't blitz them in the Super Bowl, it just appears like in the first half that they never even thought that the Eagles were going to blitz them in Sunday's game. And it's like, well, Mahomes used to be excellent against the blitz. So why are they so bad at the blitz? Were they not prepared for that? Some of the route combinations and route distributions been a bit funky looking. We all know about the secondary communication issues in the first game. Again, I don't know how you can have a lack of intensity, fire, effort to start the season in Sao Paulo. Like, it's the first game of the season. They're like, Andy Reid does not need to like motivate you guys, or he shouldn't need to motivate you guys. It's a divisional team and you're playing on a pretty, you know, interesting stage as the, you know, team that's been to the Super Bowl the past 3 years. Like, you should be more than ready to play when the season starts, even if you have an injury to a guy like Xavier Worthy. So there's a lot of things that I'm surprised about. And I think what has to be disorienting for the coaching staff and even for some players is, what the hell did we do in St. Joseph for a month, Carrington, that really holds up to like what we've put on tape these last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I read a quote that someone said, this doesn't look like a team that spent a month in training camp. And I was wondering how much of that is injuries, how much of that is just timing being off because of those injuries.
Yeah.
This has been the thing that has disappointed me the most, and I want to get specifically about the run game, but I guess kind of honing in on this. The Chiefs have spent so many of their resources on the offensive or defensive line.
Yep.
They don't look like they have a top five offensive line. They don't look like they have a top five defensive line. Well, you would have won one of those two games had you sort of gotten what you paid for.
Yeah.
That we can blame the running backs. We can blame play calling. We can blame any of those things. Man, you spent a lot of money on center, a lot of money on right guard, a lot of money on right tackle. They have the third highest ranked left tackle on Pro Football Focus. Chris Jones, we think, is going to Canton. You just gave George Karloftis $70 million. You brought back Charles Omenihu. They should be winning battles up front, and they're not winning them up front. And I think that has created some of the other problems that we see for their team.
Yes. And because, I mean, those are probably the two most concerning things, because those don't have any you know, unexplained, unforeseen sort of things that have happened since training camp began. Like, we knew what the rotation was. The only difference, I think, and we didn't know how much he was going to be a factor, but the only difference between the start of training camp and where we are now is Felix Anidike Uzomah is on injured reserve because of a hamstring injury that he had in, what, week two of the preseason. So he's the only guy you remove from the list. It was positive to see Omar Norman Lott have his sack, bring some intensity. I know the Chiefs have been, you know, pretty pleasantly surprised with some of the effort and stuff they've seen out of Ashton Gelati, but I mean, Mike Dana's not going to play on Sunday because he's already hurt. Well, he was ineffective at times last year because he was injured. You know, the Eagles made it real simple. Let's just double team Chris Jones and see if anybody can beat us one on one. And for the most times, that didn't happen. With the offensive line, okay, I could give a little bit of a, I could try to teach patience because it's Kingsley Suamata'i is, what, third game at left guard? And it's Josh Simmons' second game ever in the NFL. So you'd hope by the midway point of the season, like when they play the Buffalo Bills in early November, that the offensive line stays healthy and that it really does gel. It really does come together in terms of, hey, you've seen a bunch of unscouted looks. You've seen twists, stunts, loopers, you know, unscouted looks in terms of blitzes and all that. And, of course, Mahomes can guide you guys along the way as you guys get more playing experience together. I give a little bit of patience to the offensive line when it comes to that. What I don't understand is Josh Simmons looks to be like one of the strongest left tackles you could have. Kingsley Suamata'i is athletic, so you should be doing screenplays, you should be doing stretches, you should be having combo blocks. We know how good Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith are when you're asking them to go forward. You know, Juwan Taylor, as we talked about last week, cut down the penalties to some degree, but he's actually one of the better pass blocking win rate tackles in the league. So none of this makes sense, but how can these five guys not run block as well as you would think based on all of their talent? But perhaps some of that is they have not all played together. The Eagles have a very good defensive line. So do the New York Giants. I don't know if there's hope for the defensive line, Carrington. That's the thing that the more I look at the tape, the more I see like what other teams are doing. Do you want to put Chris Jones on the edge more on third down? I guess, I mean, you could do a combination of Karloftis, Aminihu inside, Omar Norman Lott inside, and Chris Jones on the edge. I mean, I guess you could do that, but that feels pretty desperate to me for week three.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Let's talk about the run game. That's been something that I've been very heavy on. I guess let's start with this. Is Isaiah Pacheco done? And I mean done as in 2 years ago, he ran the ball as aggressive as anybody.
Yep.
You remember there was a week where you were basically, you and the media were just reading memes to him that people said
yes.
He ran with such an anger,
yes.
Such a violence to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get any of that right now.
It's not on tape either.
He runs very tentative now, which is just very different. I get it. You broke your leg. But after kind of coming out, he talked about this being a revenge year, contract
yep.
year.
Mm-hmm.
That lack of explosiveness, I think, has really, really jumped out. How much of their run game struggles do you think is the personnel that they have in that running back room? How much of it is what you just said about this offensive line and struggles to run block?
Yeah, so I know some people have asked on the text line. I think the Chiefs should really get back to under center, get mean, move the pile forward. You know, I don't know if you really want to be doing tosses or traps or counters at this point. Just line up and go, because that's what's been most evident on film is that, hey, if they line up in two tight ends, and I know the tight ends haven't been blocking well either, but if you just line up and you're saying, hey, we're going to go off right tackle or we're going to go here in the B gap and we're just going to go forward, then that in some way simplifies things for Isaiah Pacheco, who appears on tape to, again, to your point, not have the same tenacity, but also it seems like he's thinking a lot too. Like, okay, are the angles there? Am I completely in alignment with the offensive line? What the Eagles did, I thought very well last Sunday, was they just shot through the gaps. Like, penetration was very key, because now, based on tape, it looks a little harder for Pacheco to change directions and pivot and jump cut. That's a little something that Kareem Hunt has a little bit of a smoother process through in terms of his vision and seeing if one hole's not available, okay, I can quickly go to the next, whatever my next sort of progression is on how the offensive line is supposed to block this
up. He just doesn't have a second gear, where like most
right.
running backs, like once you kind of get past that first level,
mm-hmm.
there's like that extra giddy up.
No.
There's no extra giddy up with Kareem Hunt.
Well, he's 30. I mean, and he has actually been the more statistically better running back. Now, that's not saying much.
It'd be hard to be worse than how Pacheco's playing right
thank
now.
Thank you. If you're asking on a down-to-down basis in terms of run blocking, pass protecting, running the ball between the tackles, having less stuff plays where you don't get any positive yards, Kareem Hunt's been the better running back so far, but they've given more touches to Isaiah Pacheco, because I think they want to see if he can get into a rhythm and get back to his old form. How that happens, I'm not really sure, unless you're making it a little bit more simple. We're going off the left tackle of Josh Simmons. He will be helped by either a tight end that will then try to get to the second level, or he'll be helped by Kingsley Suamata'i at left guard trying to get to the second level alongside Creed Humphrey. Doing the, you know, out of shotgun, zone, you know, GT counters. Like, it's too slow developing. And then probably the most damning thing about Isaiah Pacheco through these 2 weeks is he has not made anybody miss a tackle. And that's what he was known for. He had very good speed. He could catch the ball well. And because of that tenacious effort, you didn't really want to tackle him. the Eagles had no problems tackling him. Even when he was, even when he got a couple times to catch the ball on a little dump down in the open field, it's like, okay, is he going to make this guy miss? Is he going to go around him with speed? Is he going to run through him? And he's down. So, the offensive line has to play better, because unless you trade for a running back in a month's time, I don't know how different the running backs are going to get when it comes to what you're asking from Kareem Hunt to be a serviceable secondary back. And, I mean, you would think the production only can get better from here for Pacheco, but I don't know if he can get back to those similar heights we saw in 2022 and 2023.
Why is Elijah Mitchell on the team if he can't be healthy in this running back room? Like, if you're telling me that you are inactive for the Chiefs running back
room. Now, here's something that actually I think was shocking in training camp. I know this is an audio medium, ladies and gentlemen. I'm shaking my head, and I'm just like, look, maybe the hamstring, maybe it's too many injuries for Elijah Mitchell.
So why is he around then?
Well, there have been roster issues that you could ask really from the end of the third preseason game. Now, why is, you know, I've asked myself this, who's been more valuable if they were elevated to the active roster, Carson Steele or Elijah Mitchell? I would think Carson Steele, especially if you want to get a fullback on the field to help give your running back a little bit more time in terms of setting up a block and then, again, hitting the running lane moving forward, especially on short yard situations. I know they did convert on the 4th-and-1 right before the Kelce interception, which was Pacheco and Hunt on the field at the same time. Hunt was the halfback in that formation. I thought it was a very shrewd signing to get Elijah Mitchell, because he comes from that Shanahan one cut, get up field. Okay, he can work with zone blocking. I know that he has shown, kind of like Jarrett McKinnon, not the same player, but like, hey, this is a very smart player who can catch the ball, who has decent speed, decent wiggle to him, veteran, and it never materialized in training camp. They tried to showcase him in the last preseason game, in my opinion, to see if anybody would sniff. Because it was very clear at that time that the Chiefs were looking to try to add a running back to the position in addition to Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. None of that happened, so he's here just by default. But I don't know when he's going to be in uniform anytime soon. If you're asking me, ladies and gentlemen, I would elevate Carson Steele, who can, A, help you on special teams and can be a traditional fullback if that's what you want to bring to the running concepts under center, more, you know, downhill running style of football.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. I do want to go back just a little bit to talk about Week 2's game against Philadelphia. What was the conversation in the press box for the tush push? It's been such a national conversation, right, for the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
All of you guys are there. I mean, this was the biggest game of the week in the NFL. Got 33 million people. So, I mean, it kind of was a who's who of NFL media that was in town.
Yep.
You guys had to be talking about it in the press box. What was the thought process? What were the thoughts going on about the tush push?
What was so fascinating, and I'm glad you actually mentioned this, is it was from the press box, guys, at Arrowhead Stadium. We are above all the fans. So we have the actual, I like to call it the all 22 in live version. Like, I can see everybody on the field. So it's a really good viewpoint to see how plays are set up. The tush push, as we all know, is very boring. But it was very noticeable from the press box. Where is the football? Where's the line of scrimmage? I think there was one play where early in the game, I think they may have gotten either Chris Jones or George Kolaches. I should look this up. But they said he was offsides because his hand was in the neutral zone, essentially. And you're like, okay, all right. I mean, and then you go back and you watch it, whatever, on the TV feed, and you're like, judgment call, I get it. Well, once it got to the second half, and I know Tom Brady mentioned this as well, not just the guards moving, which, again, you can see that from wherever you're sitting, wherever you were seated at in Arrowhead, but it's hard to know where the ball is. That's where it becomes like even more ridiculous. It's like, well, there's no other play in the NFL where you don't know where the ball is. Like, the centers basically swallowed the football, and then he just hey, just move forward real quick with me. So it was very clear that, like, we see things. Well, I guess the broadcast is like on a maybe 1 to 2 second delay. So, like, I can see Andy Reid from the press box getting closer and closer and closer to the line judge, or trying to get the referee's attention to say, like, hey, like, are they moving, you know, do you see this? Like, do you have eyes? But it's also like, well, could someone, you know, are we keeping it fair? Like, if, oh, and I thank you for the text line. Someone said, I guess it was a Minnehue who was offsides, where it's like, but the center's offsides. So it's like, so what are we doing? It's a boring play. It's a less aesthetic pleasing play that there's ever been in the NFL. I used to get somewhat bored as a kid when they would just line up in I formation and it'd be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But hey, at least you're trying to move the ball forward in a more traditional manner. Now I grow to love the I formation because at least, or the jumbo package, because that looks like actual football, actual blocking scheme. Okay, are we going through the ABC gap? Or, you know, where are the angles coming from? This seems to be something that was, I think, one of the more difficult parts of being in the press box, where it's just like, well, we know they're getting it. That's the other thing, too. Like, no one's questioning that the Eagles are going to get this first down. But how can this play look so foreign to any other play that we've seen in a very competitive game that I thought was going to go back and forth, you know, when Kelce was open and, you know, if he catches the football. The Chiefs, I think at the time, would have had, a 17-13 lead? So that would have given Jalen Hurts a chance to sort of respond. And I'm assuming, you know, Mahomes would have had another chance to maybe close out the game. So it was setting up to be a really awesome week two game where both teams clearly don't like one another. But because they ran the tush push, what, four times in the second half, it becomes where it's just it cheapens the product, and everybody can understand that what is the snap on? Is it on one? Is it on two? Or is it just we go, you go, we'll always have the advantage because we go first?
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor, just getting his thoughts on the Chiefs at 0-2, and we'll also continue to look ahead to Sunday Night Football. What was the tone, the mood this week? Because we asked Pat, hey, do you consider this to be a must-win game? And his tone was, well, it's not a postseason game. Those are the only games that I consider it to be must-win. I understand why the Chiefs are not maybe – I understand why there could be that lack of urgency as opposed to what we're talking about for a playoff game. I mean, three teams last year started 0-2. Those teams made the postseason last year.
Yep.
But if you look at what it means to start 0-3, you're also going on the road. You're going against a team that scored 37 points last week. You're going up against a team that really has nothing to lose in this.
Correct.
Like, there are a lot of things here where, yeah, let's say that the Chiefs were 2-0, we'd be calling this a trap game with with Baltimore on the other side. Like, that's right. How we'd be looking at
this
game.
And I would say, yeah, it is a trap game.
That's exactly how we'd be looking at it. Now, it's the opposite end of the spectrum, and now it has to be a must-win game because they've started 0-2. What's been the energy, what's been the demeanor around the team this week for a game that is really, really important to them?
It's a mix. I think it's a mix of them being disappointed, knowing that they were close to beating the Eagles, or at least close to pushing it in a manner where they were going to be in control of the game by the start of the fourth quarter. I cannot overstate enough that if Kelce catches that football, based on the way the defense was playing on Sunday, the Chiefs can take control of that game and probably squeeze out a close victory. So there's that part of it from like the offensive side. I think the defensive side of the team right now feels like, okay, we found something. How much can we improve on it based on how well our secondary played against A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith? But also, now we can really focus on, okay, Russell Wilson will hold on to the football. We got to get pressure. Steve Spagnuolo does not want to blitz because he has to. He would like to blitz because he wants to. In terms of the must-win sort of doom and gloom over them, they are trying to be a responsible team, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, where, hey, I don't have to tell you that you're better than the Giants. You know you better than the Giants. Hell, the Giants probably know you better than them. What matters now is get back to the attention to detail that has been lacking in these first two games. Don't make silly mistakes. If you're a coach on the coaching staff, especially on offense, maybe simplify some things. Even if Worthy comes back, like, simplify it to a degree so that the players can show how much they are more talented than the Giants. If you're the better team, go out there and demonstrate that for the entirety of the game. So in some ways, it's like I want the offense to be more creative, but not to start the game. Just get a first down. Carrington, they've gone three and out multiple times in the first quarter of both of these games. They can't let that happen on Sunday. So they don't feel like it's a must-win game, and I totally understand that. But if they lose on Sunday, they're asking for a death wish. They're asking for everyone to put them in the grave and start to actually put dirt on them. I mean, you can't lose this game. And so that's the fun nature of the sport is that, yes, every game week to week is massive, even if it is a trap game, because they all add up in the end. And Mahomes has played very, very well. And I don't even think it's reflective in the statistics, whether it's traditional or advanced. We all know about his scrambling ability and him having to sort of carry the load in a wild manner. But they need a dominant win. They can't go up to MetLife and squeak one out. I really believe that, because that won't have solved or really proven anything. It would have just delayed the, like, we could take a deep breath. Okay, at least we ain't 0-3. Like, they don't. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you don't want to leave Sunday night thinking like, well, hey, at least we're not 0-3. You want to go out there and be like, yeah, okay, they actually look focused. They have more attention to detail, and they have proven decisively how much better they are than the Giants. They're a 6-point favorite. And to get that in the NFL in week three is pretty significant, when the other team has shown that, hey, they can be competitive against, you know, one of their division opponents.
Let's stay there on the other side, because I want to ask you a question, because Rob also has that opinion. I'm on the other side of that argument. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what my fear is with Kansas City in the remaining portion of the season. And I didn't get a chance to ask you this last week. I know fans want Tyreek Hill. I'm curious if the Chiefs would want Tyreek Hill back in their locker room. I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me address what we talked about right before the break. I don't care how the Chiefs win this one. I understand what you're saying, that if you're a championship-level team, you want to go out, you want to play well, you want to fire on all cylinders.
Yep.
And we can get there. Not when you 0-2. Just figure out how to win. I don't care how they do it. I really don't. I don't care how they do it. Just figure out a way to win this game. That's all I care about for this one. We can talk about style points a little later on in the season. I don't think the Chiefs have the offense that can really run away from somebody right now. Maybe they win the turnover differential.
That was going to be my helpful
point. If you win the turnover differential 2-0, you set up some short fields, and yeah, you can win this game 27-10, and we can be talking about a comfortable victory. But if this game is played straight up and neither team turns the ball over. Kansas City doesn't have an offense that can run away from anybody right now, so it's just going to be a tight game into the fourth quarter because all Chiefs games are tight in the fourth quarter. That's how they are when you have the 21st-ranked offense in the National Football League.
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah, the thing that the Chiefs defense should really be focused on is, and Russell Wilson is capable of giving you one. Obviously, we saw that in overtime against the Cowboys. So, it'd be quite the indictment if the Chiefs go three straight games without generating a turnover, right? I mean, they obviously Justin Herbert had all the time in the world to throw it in week one. You know, they did a great job pressuring Jalen Hurts. We mostly checked it down until, you know, the one deep pass to Devontae Smith. But they got to get a turnover, man, to jumpstart the offense. So that's one way that they can, you know, create some distance on the scoreboard. I know you say it doesn't matter, but I think psychologically, like, something about the season has to change. So doing it sooner rather than later would be great. And, I know Andy is going to be somewhat cautious, just given his track record about, hey, Xavier Worthy's never played on this type of injury before. And again, it's a must-win game. And I want to remind people, like, there's still turf at MetLife. You just have to be mindful of that. Especially, I know that mostly deals with, like, lower body stuff. But again, being tackled, going full speed, on his shoulder, not the biggest guy, of course, we all know. Just be mindful of, like, the turf playing a factor for this as well. They need something, man. Because otherwise on offense, it's Mahomes saying, I got to do it. Get on my back. All right, let me put the cape on. Okay, like, no one's open. It's man-to-man coverage. I guess I'll scramble. Andy didn't make it a big deal, but even he was on the injury report this week, Carrington, which does tell you something. Like, hey, he's got a little bit of a right wrist. It's not going to be an issue. I've seen Patrick at practice this week. He seems fine. But for a long season, we can't have you being the team's leading rusher. So whether that's getting Kelsey more in the mix, hey, if you're going to use two tight ends, I don't know, actually throw the ball to Noah Gray occasionally when not in desperation mode. They gotta demonstrate that they can dominate a team for the entire game. That's what I would like to see. I think that's what most Chiefs fans want to see. You would rather the Chiefs leave MetLife Stadium with more joy than relief by getting a victory. And Russell Wilson, I don't know if he can replicate what he did last week, just because I think the Chiefs have a better defense than the Cowboys, especially when it comes to pass defense, given the Cowboys' deficiencies at the cornerback position. So I don't know. I mean, get a win, yes, but they need to leave this game feeling better about themselves. And the fastest way they can do that is, I really think, just dominating the Giants from start to finish and not letting the less talented team hang around.
I am thinking this because we just watched Thursday Night Football, and I know we're still ways away from the trade deadline. I don't think anything's happened with Devon Achane. I don't think anything's happening with Tyreek Hill, but I think we all know that this is going to be a conversation in the National Football League in the next 3 weeks. Like, if you look at the Dolphins, they look like a team that's about to fire their head coach, who might be moving on from their starting quarterback and trading pieces off of that team very, very quickly. Do you think the Chiefs would let Tyreek Hill back into their locker room? Because it is obvious that the Chiefs still really liked Kareem Hunt.
Correct.
It is obvious that they still maintained a personal relationship, that they were excited to bring him back.
Yep.
That's a very different relationship than it would appear the one they have with Tyreek Hill. I still think Tyreek, the football player, can absolutely help him. But I think we all know this is your coworker. This is the person that you essentially live with, travel with. You spend a lot of time around. Do you think that the Chiefs want him around anymore?
No. I remember hearing your segment about this however many days ago and completely agreeing with it, because the question I would have is Tyreek Hill going to show the same level of maturity that Kareem Hunt did before he ever put the uniform back on, right? I know this was part of the Kingdom documentary, and, you know, obviously I wrote about it and reported on it, but, you know, Kareem was someone who understood what was going to be required for him to come back to the team based on how he left. Tyreek has his own set of interesting parameters not only the contract, which we can't even, I don't even know if we can get to that point, just because you'd have to really, really, really wait, I think, for the deadline to make that deal happen. And even then, you might need help from the Dolphins.
And you also probably need some help from Tyreek. Kind of like what happened with Devontae Adams. Like, Devontae Adams restructured some money around to help the Jets acquire
Correct. Him. And again, I don't, like, what about Tyreek Hill says that at this point? Like, I don't, no.
Losing's funny, though. You know how it is. Losing is funny. Especially when you're used to either A, winning, or B, putting up big numbers. This would be one thing if Tyreek was putting up big numbers and he was everybody's favorite fantasy player and all those things. You are losing and you are kind of forgotten now in the league. They don't talk about you a receiver anymore. We moved on to Neighbors and these guys.
Right.
Like, when you moved on to those other people and now you're kind of the old guy that's 30 years old and we're not talking about you anymore.
Well, I hope you can advise this man because, you know, I don't know. One of the more fascinating parts about last season was you knew that was the best you were going to get out of Kareem Hunt because he was maximizing every bit of the redemptive opportunity that he never thought was going to come. And the Chiefs didn't anticipate it happening. But of course, like you said, there were relationships throughout the organization that Kareem still had in contact with. I don't know how many guys Tyreek even talks to, and I don't know how Andy would appreciate it. Considering like what the Chiefs have been trying to do ever since they traded him away, which is get younger at the position, get guys who were good and durable, but weren't necessarily the same personality type. You know, that's why you have Hollywood Brown. That's why you have Rashee Rice. That's why you have Xavier Worthy. Like, again, none of those guys have even played an NFL snap together. So we'll even see if that happens in November, right? With, you know, Hollywood staying healthy, you know, Xavier coming back into the mix, and then Rashee coming off the suspension. There's a lot of interesting parts when it comes to a Tyreek potential trade. I just know that he would not be the savior. You cannot think that, like, oh, just because we're trading Tyreek Hill, he's going to be the savior and the whole office is going to open up. It's going to be like fireworks again. I don't know if that's necessarily true based on what we've done seen in these two games on tape. I would be more interested, and I know people on the text line are saying, well, what about Waddle? Well, Waddle is still the younger player. You would more than likely keep him.
Waddle ain't cheap either.
He is not. Now, Devon Achane, now we talking. If I were the Chiefs, and I'm not saying that, I'm not reporting this, guys. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next month.
I don't think you're going to Achane for less than a third.
Hey.
For anybody, not just the Chiefs. I would be surprised that Devon Achane got traded for less than a third round pick.
I'm calling you and I'm bugging you about a fourth every day. Maybe a fourth and a sixth. I don't care. I'll give you two picks. Like, you know, I would be, if I was in that front office, I would be bugging the Miami Dolphins about Achane. Because he can catch the ball. He can clearly route you up from the perimeter. He is explosive, running between the tackles. Very durable for his size. He would fit this offense really, really well. And it would be just another way for them to get to the screen games and the quick outs and the swing passes where it's one-on-one. You're going to make a guy miss in the open field on the perimeter. You know, there's a, hey, you maybe could run better from the shotgun if you had Devon Achane. So I think he would be the one that you would circle more so than Tyreek Hill, even though it is naturally, I understand why people assume and why people are interested in this because the Chiefs are known to bring guys back. I mean, they traded for McColl and won another Super Bowl, right? They brought Kareem back and then went to another Super Bowl. So I get it, but no, I don't think the Chiefs are legitimately considering Tyreek Hill at this point.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get your final thoughts on Sunday Night Football. We'll also play a little bit of a game. I'll tell you the rules coming up in just a bit. We got Nate Taylor. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nate Taylor of ESPN. I do want to get your football opinion because your football opinions are very important to me. But we need to play a game. As you know, on Wednesday, Patrick Mahomes turned 30 years old. You also know that on Wednesday, he opened up a steakhouse called 1587 Prime, he and Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the honors of making you and your wife a menu. And I want you to guess how much this would be if you decided to take your wife out to 1587 Prime.
Okay.
We call it The Prime is Right. All right. You and your wife are going out to celebrate. You guys recently had your second child together. Congratulations Woo-woo. To both of you.
Thank you.
So you know what? You want to have your first date night in a while. You got grandma coming over to watch the little ones.
Uh-huh.
And you want to take your lovely wife out for a meal. You sit down. They got coat check. Take your coat. You order the crab cakes.
Okay. Holly does like crab cakes.
Who doesn't love crab cakes?
Yeah, yeah.
Crab cakes and football.
Excellent.
You know what? Since today's such a special day, you both are getting the Wagyu filet.
Oh, yes.
You're both getting the Wagyu filet. 8 ounces.
Oh, they taking my money, huh?
You guys got to get sides.
Of course.
You get mashed potatoes and you get the sauteed spinach.
Okay.
Now, she's not drinking, but you're going to get a drink. You get the Kingdom Come, a nice tequila-based drink.
Okay.
She gets a mocktail called Scout's Honor. And you got to get dessert. You've already been here.
Yeah,
you
we're going to be here for a couple hours. Yeah.
You got to get some dessert. So you got the carrot cake. This is all what you've ordered. You have the crab cakes.
Yep.
You have two Wagyu fillets, mashed potatoes, sauteed spinach. You get a cocktail, the Kingdom Come. She gets a mocktail, the Scout's Honor. And you get the carrot cake to go. How much do you think your tab is at 1587 Prime?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have not seen the full menu. So this is we are being fair to the game right now, okay? Comparative to other fine dining extravagant experiences in Kansas City, I'll go $275.
$307.
Oh.
That is before tax and tip.
Right. Yeah.
$307.
$307. Okay. It's kind of in the ballpark, Rob. I mean.
Rob didn't even look up during that game. Rob, like that big money talk y'all got
over
there.
Babe, we might have to split one of them.
You got to put that on the company card.
Yeah, I got to split one of them Wagyus.
Your
you know?
First question to Pat every week is, hey, how much do you want me to go to 1587 Prime? You played great, Pat. You got any gift cards?
Any gift cards? Yeah. Drop one off on me. Yeah.
Who's the house manager over there? Go and tell him to hook us up, man. Go and tell him we your boys from the drive. I don't think I've asked you that. I did ask you this last week.
What's
give
that?
Me your Chiefs win if scenario. Oh, give me your Giants win if scenario.
Man, Giants win if the offense goes to even more greater doomsday depths than we've seen. Like, if they lose, it'll probably be more on the offense, I would say, than the defense at this point. Chiefs win if, like we said, I don't know, defense actually get a turnover. Somebody support Mahomes. Anyone, right? Kelce had a very good second half against the Chargers, but he was not good in the first half. We all know why. Hollywood Brown was also pretty good in the second half against the Chargers, but they didn't get the ball with a chance to win. We all know that. I don't know. I was asking myself this, like, who was the best supportive skill player for the Chiefs against the Eagles? Like, Tyquan Thornton, I guess, because he caught the long touchdown. Tyquan Thornton has been open.
I think he's their best receiver.
Well, he gets open. They should probably put him on the field more, Carrington.
100%.
So, okay, who can Patrick get support from two guys? Whether that's Pacheco, Thornton, whether that's Worthy, Kelsey, like the Chiefs will win if he gets just better support.
You know what? I know you're a very busy man. I'll get you out of here with this last thing. Coming up, we'll get to the hits at the top of the hour, but this feels like an appropriate way to end your appearance on today's show.
Hey, guys. Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. Yeah, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll, they think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tom.
How dare you make me listen to that?
That was a good way to end your appearance. you did a great job. I really appreciate everything that you contributed to the show today, hey. And I wanted to leave you with that. You know what? When you're at ESPN and they ask you, hey, I know you're on NFL Live, but can you also do First Take? Tell them, of course you can. Because yeah. You're Mr. Unlimited.
The audacity to, A, record this, and then, B, hit post. Hey, guys.
Who gives you motivation, Nate? Mr. Unlimited. That's who gives you motivation.
He's not a real person, man. Why you make me listen to that again?
You know what? Right now, I would pay for a podcast between Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Just I want you guys to sit down and talk about
all their experiences,
just everything.
We've noticed this, or we learned this a lot in life, that we have more commonalities and differences. But yeah, just. I'd listen. I'd tune in.
For sure.
Know? I mean, hey, I'd tune in. I would be thrilled if we got Jameis Winston on the field on Sunday, because anything can happen, kids. We're not going to let that happen, though. But yeah, guys, it's okay to record things. It's okay to have fun in your own house. You ain't got to hit post. I never needed to hear or see that.
Mr. Unlimited.
He posted that on purpose.
Multiple times. He's called himself that multiple times. Coming up, we'll get to the hits. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.